Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we want to read the entire chapter. Mark 16, starting in verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, and it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you in Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that they had been with them as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had not seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed with them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which also seen after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere where the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. In Mark chapter 16, we briefly have the account of the resurrection. We're simply told in verse 6, "And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him." But from that point on, this simple event is the basis of all else that happens. The theme of this chapter is to tell others about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, he says, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." In verse 10, she went and told them. In verse 13, "And they went and told." In verse 15, "Preach the gospel." In verse 20, "They went forth and preached." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel message. The resurrection is, first of all, the basis of the gospel. The most important part of Christianity is not what Christ said, but what he did in the atonement. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 1 John 2:2, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." The resurrection is the affirmation of the atonement. The resurrection is the basis of the gospel message. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 say this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." And yet, there is a deeper truth. It's not enough that we would be able to say he was delivered up for our trespasses and that he was crucified on the cross, but we must be able to say he was raised for our justification. that he rose again on Easter. Else what would enable us to say that he was able to pay the penalty he had undertaken? That he died manifests his love. That he died manifests his willingness to save. But we cannot be saved by a dead Christ who undertook an act but could not perform it, who still lies under the Jerusalem sky, another Martin, a martyr of impotent love. To save, he must pass not merely to death, but he must pass through death. If the penalty was fully paid, it couldn't have broken him. It must needs have been broken upon him. And the resurrection of Christ is thus the indispensable evidence of his completed work. His work of redemption, completely accomplished. It's only because he rose from the dead that we know that the ransom he offered was sufficient, that the sacrifice was accepted, that we are purchased possession. In one word, the resurrection of Christ is fundamental to the Christian hope and to the Christian confidence. There's not much said about the resurrection. It just says that it happened. But then it says he was seen by people to give evidence that it did happen. A thought that I had been pondering this week a little bit is that we know that the resurrection is the evidence that the sacrifice was accepted. But how often in Scripture does God say, let me give you a little glimpse before I give it to you all? There's, you know, the idea of the first fruits. Here's the offering of the first fruits, because here's the first fruits, but there's going to be an abundant harvest later. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is termed as the earnest. He is the down payment. Just a little bit of what's going to come later. Well, Jesus died on the cross. There was a little bit of hope. They may not have seen it, and we may not have seen it, but the veil was torn in two to show that the sacrifice was accepted. Hope fully realized 3 days later, in the resurrection. Now we take the veils too, is turned as a sign of proof that the veil, that it was accepted. But people in their hardness of their heart, do you realize somebody had to get up there and sew it back up? And someone did get up there and sew it back up. That the veil that had been torn, man went ahead and sewed it back up. God is trying to break things down, and man in his sinfulness says, no, that's not the way we want to do it. But Jesus rose again. That is the gospel message, that Jesus rose again. The resurrection is the basis of the gospel, the basis of the good news. But also the resurrection is the motive of the gospel. The motive of the gospel. Why should we tell people about the gospel? It is because of the resurrection that Jesus is risen, that we serve a risen Savior. And in the Gospels, you will find abundant testimony to the resurrection of Christ. In addition to the detailed narratives in the Gospels, the book of Acts is a story of the apostles' proclamation of the resurrection of Christ. Now, it is interesting. People say, oh, no, it's a hoax. They just went around telling a hoax. 12 people, 11 people going around telling you it's a hoax. They all died for that hoax. Chuck Colson, who got busted for Watergate, he says, I know it's true because 3 of us couldn't keep a secret for 3 weeks. For 12 to keep it for 40-plus years, it's true. So the apostles are proclaiming in the book of Acts, the epistles depend entirely on the basis that Jesus is living, that he is worshiped, that he is adored, and he will someday return in power and great glory to reign as king over the earth. The book of Revelation repeatedly shows the risen Christ reigning in heaven and predicts his return to conquer his enemies and reign in glory. And thus, the entire New Testament, from Matthew the Revelation, the Gospels, Acts, the Epistles, and the Apocalypse, all bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord of life could not succumb to death. Had he not risen, could we have believed him? When he made himself equal to God, would we have believed him if he had not risen again? By his resurrection, he set a seal on all the instructions which he gave and all the hopes which he awakened. Had the one sign which he chose failed, would not his declaration have failed with it? Is it nothing to us that he said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest"? Who has promised to be with us, who trust him always, even unto the end of the world? Who has announced to us the forgiveness of sin? Who has proved that he has the power to lay down his life and to take it again? That he could not be holden to death, but he rose in the power of a deathless life, that he gives us to know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin. He backed it up. He backed up his words by rising again. The motive to proclaim the gospel of Christ is that he is risen. That he is alive. We're not declaring a gospel, a step-by-step plan of things to do. That might seem to be part of it, but we are declaring a person to know, a person who died in our place, but a person who rose again for our justification. He who said it is finished rose again, and he says to tell. So the resurrection is the basis of the gospel. The resurrection is the motive of the gospel. And the resurrection is the message of the gospel. It is the message of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4 says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." You cannot divorce his teachings from his death. You can't divorce his teachings from his burial. You can't divorce his teachings from his resurrection. Without the resurrection, all his teachings are in vain. We gather today on this day, Easter, to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. We gather every Sunday, the Lord's Day, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we serve a risen Savior. We don't follow a dead man's teachings. We follow the teachings of a living Savior, a living God. The resurrection of Christ is the heart of Christianity. This day does maybe get a lot of fanfare, as, say, Christmas. A lot more fanfare for Christmas. This day gets hijacked by a culture that wants to celebrate bunnies and eggs and doesn't even know how the two go together. You know? But resurrection is what we should be celebrating. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. I saw this on Saturday Night Live once, and not to give credit to Saturday Night Live too much, but sometimes they ask potent questions that you go, interesting. And the question was, why does Christianity have to have mascots to celebrate their religions, their holidays, and other religions don't? Christmas, Santa Claus. Easter, the bunny. And in their skit, they said, you never hear of Harry Hanukkah or the Ramadan rooster. Or, you know, you don't hear, the other religions don't have, I think that's a testament. I take it as a testament that Satan is really trying to distract, trying to dilute of what our holidays are all about, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we serve a risen Savior. It is a risen Savior that gives grace. It's a risen Savior that gives mercy in our time of need. It's a risen Savior that has conquered death and can conquer death for us. That can save us from our sin. He can save us from our death. It is a risen Savior that is the message. Now, I started off our service today, and I said, He is risen. And you were supposed to say, He is risen indeed. But did you know that that was a password? Have you ever seen the fish sign? See, they would go up to somebody, a complete stranger, because they were in fear of their life, and they would take their foot and they would draw an arc and say, He is risen. And the other person would finish it and go, He is risen indeed. And then they knew they were talking to a Christian. People will say, Happy Easter to you today. But do they know the real meaning of it? Because today, Easter is based off of a pagan holiday, and that's part of the problem. And Christianity took hold in 325 AD when Constantine made it the religion of the Roman Empire. They took over pagan holidays. There's one in winter solstice, which is December 21st. They took it, moved it over to December 25th. There you have Christmas. There is a holiday called Ishtar, and it is a holiday of what is the word I'm looking for? Fertility. And that's why there's bunnies and eggs. It comes from that pagan holiday. And the word Easter does appear in Acts, but that is not the Greek word behind it. The Greek word is actually a translation of the Hebrew word of Pascha, which we get Passover lamb. So Easter is actually the pagan festival, I think, of Ishtar, I think it's called. So to make it palatable and acceptable, and we have these things. But today is not Happy Easter. Today is a resurrection celebration. That we celebrate, that we serve a risen Savior. And that's the gospel message. The question is, do you know about Him? The question is, not that you know facts about Him, but the question is, do you know Him? And I'm not asking you to know someone who's dead. I'm asking you to know someone who's alive. Because He rose again. He took death for us. Now, some people speculate, where was He when He was dead? I don't know. Sin had been taken on Him. God had turned His back, accepted the sacrifice. He had already done all the payment for sin on the cross before He was buried. And we see the tenor and the tone. He changes from my God, to my Father. If I had to speculate, and this is just my conjecture, I'm saying He's with His Father. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Just as true then. The show is that's what's going to happen. And He came back. And He was around for 40 days. 50 days, 40 days. And His disciples were there. They learned. They rejoiced. They had boldness and confidence to declare this message. This message so much that they, 11 men from Galilee. It means all you can almost hear the disdain from the religious, from Galilee, you fishers. What was the one term I heard yesterday? You net gatherers. I mean, they couldn't even say fishers. They were like, let's go beneath that, you net gatherers. But those 11 men turned upside down the world and preaching the gospel that Peter preached, and 3,000 souls were saved. Why? Because many of those people probably did see Jesus or heard about Jesus alive. What, did we kill him? He's alive now. Paul, saved as he was trying to stamp out the religion, but didn't stamp it out. And we live 2,000 years later, and Christianity has not been stamped out. Because we serve a risen Savior, and people are coming to know him. But how, in Romans chapter 10, Paul is giving a testimony, and he says in Romans 10, and this is where we need to remind ourselves this. He gives the gospel, and he says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, element of the gospel, that he was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto thee, cast upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good tidings. But they have not all obeyed the Lord. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are the people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them, and sought me not. I was made manifest unto them, and they asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. How will people hear if we do not preach the gospel? And we need to preach the gospel not only with our lips, but also with our lives. The resurrection message. Do we live as if that Jesus is alive? Do we live that he is living within us through the Holy Spirit? Do we live as changed people who have been affected by the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel message. A lot of Christianity wants to tell people, using marketing ploys, if you will, that God loves you. Do not deny that. I'm not saying God doesn't love you. And he's got a plan for your life. Not denying that either. But the inference is if you accept God, then all your life will be wonderful, rosy, and happy. And you'll be rich. And you'll have anything you want. Like, if you just turn your heart to God, he's like the golden goose, and that's not it at all. So one time your golden goose gets a little crack in it, in the egg, you're a little upset. No, it's that Jesus Christ came. He died for sinners and rose again for your justification. That he is the ultimate solution to your problems. Your biggest problem is your sin problem. And he removes the guilt. He removes the shame. He removes the fear. And only a living Savior can do that. dead one doesn't remove guilt. A dead one doesn't remove shame. A dead one doesn't remove fear. But a living one does. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel message. Are you proclaiming the message like saints of old? Can you state like Paul, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." We sit, sometimes preachers joke, like, what are you going to preach on Easter? And I'm going to guess most people preach on the resurrection today. There might be a few diehard pastors who said, I'm not breaking my series out for anything. And so they may not have celebrated the resurrection that way. But you sit and you think about it, and then you say, okay, I'm going to preach on the resurrection. And part of you wants to say, okay, so what's the new angle I can find? What's the new hook? What's different? And you don't have to look hard. You're not asking anything for your own creativity. You're looking at the scriptures, because there's a lot of scriptures that talk about the resurrection of Christ. You got four gospels, you got the whole of Acts, you've got the epistles. And as I read Mark 16, you see that the emphasis there is about telling. Which is interesting, because if you don't know the Gospel of Mark, you need to go back and read it. It's pretty quick. It's only 16 chapters, and it kind of goes pretty fast, because it has this early English word called straightaway, and straightaway they went there, and straightaway they went there, and straightaway right there, which simply in our common language today is immediately. So it's fast-paced in that sense. Because the Gospel of Mark, even though Mark is the one who wrote it, is the gospel according to Peter. Peter is the sponsor. Peter is the one who gave Mark the info. And lo and behold, remember what the instructions were to Mary Magdalene? Go tell my disciples and Peter. Now, why was she told to tell Peter specifically? Because Peter denied Christ three times before the rooster crowed twice. And Jesus wanted him to know, I'm alive, and we're going to talk. And we see later in John that he is restored, and he is given the privilege to preach on the day of Pentecost and to tell the gospel message. That he was not ashamed of the gospel. That Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. Now, the word ashamed here in the Greek does have the idea sometimes of embarrassment, but a much stronger translation is, I am confident of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you confident in the gospel? The gospel has certainty. Because Jesus is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And we are told to go preach the gospel to every creature because Jesus is alive. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for raising him from the dead. We thank you that we serve a risen Savior. Lord, I pray that if anyone does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation, a day of their regeneration, a day of their resurrection, that they would admit that they are a sinner because Jesus died for sinners, that they would accept the gift of God on their behalf. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that they would simply call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that they would know Jesus, to know him, to know the risen Savior, and to share it. Father, I pray for Christians today that you would reignite our passion for witnessing. That you would ignite the urgency we have to share Jesus, the risen Savior. That we're not proclaiming a new set of standards to follow or a new step-by-step type of religion, but we're talking about a person who's closer than a brother, a person who provides comfort and strength, a person who provides relationship, a person that we can know, as Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable to his death. Lord, would your Spirit work in us today? Lord, we pray for anyone who does not know Christ to turn and accept him. For those who might need to take a step of obedience to follow him in believer's baptism. But Lord, for us as believers to be reignited, to pray for the unsaved, and to lead us to share the gospel that Jesus is alive. And we ask this in Jesus' name.